Good morning, my brothers and sisters.
Good morning.
There's been something that's been weighing on my mind, something that was bothering me over the last week. Now, I go down to the BART station a lot. I ride BART several times a week, and almost normally there's always somebody there asking for handouts, asking for money. And I generally avoid handing out money. I do try to say hello. I try to, you know, say, I'm sorry, I don't have anything. I do try to acknowledge them, but I don't like thinking that I'm going to hand one person money and then somebody else. I just don't have enough money to give everybody. And I don't feel that guilty about it because I do give in other ways. I do work. I try to give money when I'm able to. And occasionally, I actually do stick my hand in my pocket and hand somebody some money because I'm just feeling that way at the time. Now, when I was a week ago Thursday, I was at Civic Center Plaza, and I was getting onto the BART, and there was a man who was selling a package of socks. And I didn't think much of it. I knew that somebody had donated those socks. I knew that somebody had probably donated those socks to him, but I kind of chuckled thinking that, and then I went on my way. But on Tuesday, as I was leaving MacArthur BART station, I got off the train, I went out of the station, and there's a man standing there, and as I'm passing him by, he says, I have a $16 BART pass for $8. And I just looked at him, and then I walked on, and the wheels started turning in my head. And it didn't matter what this guy's story was at that moment. I was concocting a whole tale that somebody, that he had been standing outside the station, and he was telling people, I need some money to get somewhere. And instead of giving him money, somebody bought him a BART pass so he would be able to travel. And he was trying to sell that BART pass for money for what he originally wanted it for, to get his next fix, to get his next drink, to go gamble it, to do whatever thing that he can do to harm himself. And I started thinking, it reminded me that there are people, it doesn't matter about this one man, you know, he could have been honestly trying to sell a ticket that he had put too much money on. He could have had any kind of story going on there, but that didn't matter because the fact that he was there reminded me that there are people that do try to take advantage of us, of people that donate to charity. There are people out there that we sometimes feel undermine the good works that we have, that we make in a system that I myself am deeply committed to, in a system that I myself am here and learning about how to shepherd other people into involving themselves in. And I get frustrated and I get angry. And there are moments that I wonder why we even bother. What is it for? What is it? Why are we doing this? Why are we giving money out just for somebody to take it and do stuff that is actually going to wind up hurting them? And I have to wonder that there is something seriously wrong with my inability to see the good in some of these situations. That I have a serious problem seeing where God is. But my friends, God is there. God is there in an unexpected place. Now, today is the second Sunday in Epiphany, and while we're in year C of our lectionary, we find ourselves unexpectedly. Let me explain. Year C, we're normally reading out of the Gospel of Luke, but we find ourselves unexpectedly in the Gospel of John. And we're finding Jesus in a very unusual place. Because where are we used to seeing Jesus? In a temple. Maybe on a rock preaching to people. Maybe in somebody's house at dinner. Sharing a parable. Teaching his disciples. Healing people. But here, Jesus is at a wedding. One of the most ordinary kind of places. And yes, weddings are extraordinary events, but we all have been to a wedding. We're all familiar with weddings. And Jesus has been invited to this wedding, and his mother has been invited, and the disciples have been invited. And the host, I'm pretty sure, had no idea who Jesus was when he invited him. But it's a good thing that Jesus invited him. Now, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that weddings are a pretty secular event. Now, sure, people might disagree with me on that, because yes, we often have weddings in churches, and yes, we often have a minister, a leader, a religious leader presiding over them, and the couple takes sacred vows. But even in the most highfalutin of sanctuaries, with a fully decked out priest and a cadre of assisting ministers and a choir of angelic voices, even those, as soon as they leave the church, they're off to a wedding reception. That's something completely different. Now, I find it hard to find something sacred in a bunch of people getting themselves drunk, stuffing their faces full of food, and sometimes arguing and yelling at each other and cavorting and dancing like crazy and having just a general good time. And that's okay. Has anybody seen a television? Who here has seen a television show called Bridezillas? Anybody here? It's a reality show. I had never seen it, but I had heard about it, and you can imagine what it's about just by the name. But I spent about an hour the other morning watching clips of it online and realizing that, you know, it's hard enough for any of us who are planning for that one perfect day, and we want everything to be right, and take people with a little bit, you know, we all have some difficulty. Many people have some difficulty dealing with stress and anxiety and in that kind of situation. And there's, you know, a lot of people who don't quite deal with it as much as we would expect them to. And those situations bring out the worst in people sometimes. And it's not just brides. It's the grooms. It's the parents. It's a lot of people. And they feature them on TV. Now, bringing us back to our wedding at Cana, we have a bride and a bridegroom there who are probably a little bit under stress. And I can imagine that the worst thing that might happen is that they run out of booze. And I don't know. I think the servants there are a little bit worried or what's going to happen to them when the bride and the bridegroom find out that they are running out of booze. And so, luckily, Mary overhears. Mary, the mother of Jesus, somehow realizes that there's no more alcohol, and she asks Jesus, and he says, "Woman, what is that to you and to me? My time has not yet come." Now, I can understand the servants were a little bit confused by what they're even talking about, and probably even more so when she basically ignores him and tells them, "Do what he tells you to." And then Jesus starts telling them what to do. Fill up 6 jugs full of water. Draw some out and hand it to the steward. And they do that regardless. And lo and behold, a miracle. The water is wine. The party can renew itself. The host has not been holding out. And Jesus has made this remarkable transformation from water into wine. And not only that, but it's not just that he's transformed the ordinary into something extraordinary. But look at these six jugs that were there. These six jugs, they were meant for ritual purification, so observant Jews could cleanse themselves before eating their dinner, so they could observe their purity laws. And so what Jesus has done has taken something holy and sacred and made it into something amazing, available to everyone, and not even with their knowledge. Because who knew that he had changed the water into wine? The disciples who saw and believed, Jesus' mother, who probably knew it ahead of time, and the servants. And everybody else thought that it was just there. And so, God isn't everything. And we don't always know it, and we don't always see it. But God has been everywhere that we've been to. We are living in his creation. We are his creation. And what if we could live life seeing that God has been there before us? Seeing that each person, each thing, each object of creation has been given on this earth. What kind of respect could we offer if we saw things like that? If we saw if we were able to see that where God has been and offer our respect and our awe. A little bit excited. Sanctifying and filling it with the Holy Spirit. Making the mundane holy and accessible. You know, if we could see God in everywhere that we went, in our workplaces, on I-280, in the cars and the drivers that cut us off, while we're riding the BART, in those people that say things, the kid that's got his stereo on too loud, that's really annoying us, in the BART station, in the face of the man who's trying to sell his BART ticket. Everything we see and hear and touch and smell and know, God has put his dispensation on that. And it's only a matter of knowing, like the disciples, that it's that we can believe. And this world is holy. God has been here, and in living that grace that God has bestowed upon us in his blood, that we can live out, even if we're not sure what to do in those situations. Jesus' mother has already said it. Do what he tells you to. And God tells us, love God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. Give to the poor. Don't give to the poor wondering what they're going to do, whether or not they're going to get their next fix or their next meal, or they're trying to find themselves a place to stay. Give to the poor. That's all he says. And so, knowing that, I can live without the guilt of worrying about what I'm giving and where it's going to be used, because it is for me to give. That's what Jesus has taught us. And that's what we do in living in his blood and in the hope of the wedding feast to come. Amen.